Now this week, UW-Madison's Camp Randall Stadium, mostly empty, will see the return of Badgers football. After initially canceling the 2020 season altogether, the Big Ten took several weeks to mull that decision over before rebooting things with the games kicking off this weekend. We got a question from a listener about the history of Camp Randall going back before there was such a thing as college football being played. Here's listener John Hansen.
Hi, I'm John from Madison, and I have a question for Wisconsin. I would like to know more about early Camp Randall history at the UW as a Civil War troops training ground, the person it was named after, Governor Randall, and any other interesting history events up to its modern version. Thanks. Go Bucky.
You can also join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the history of Camp Randall, be it Civil War era training, the Memorial Park, Memorial Arch, the stadium itself? What do you want to know about the structures, the land around where Badgers football is played? Do you have a favorite memory? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. To help answer John's question, we called up Daniel Einstein. He's the UW-Madison Historic and Cultural Resources Manager. Daniel, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Good to be here.
Before we get into the history lesson, the phrase Camp Randall could get a little confusing. I think people think of the stadium, but it actually refers to a lot of different things all in the same general area. Sort that out for us a little, please.
Well, why don't I just start by saying that all cultural landscape stories really begin with the indigenous people who occupied this area since, 12,000 years ago after the retreat of the last glacier. And I just want to acknowledge that when Europeans migrated to this area in the early 1800s, the Ho-Chunk people were well established here. But to your question about the names of all the Camp Randall structures and properties, it was in 1861 that the federal government called upon the states to muster soldiers for the Civil War. And at the time, the governor was Alexander Randall. And he identified the former state agriculture society fairgrounds as a place for a military training camp. And that's how the name of the 53-acre Camp Randall training ground was first established. And for those of you who are familiar with Madison, that 53-acre plot extends from Breeze Terrace to University Avenue to Randall Avenue to Monroe Street. So a pretty big chunk of what is now the UW-Madison campus. I was just going to say there are several place names that reference Camp Randall. There's Camp Randall Memorial Park, which is that green space adjacent to what we refer to as the shell. There is the arch, which is the Camp Randall Memorial Arch. And then, of course, there's Camp Randall Stadium, which folks have come to use the more informal reference of Camp Randall, but it's really Camp Randall Stadium.
Well, let's get into our little listener's question a little more. You referenced the creation of Camp Randall, this 50-plus acre Civil War Union soldier training ground. Talk us through the history of that site, what happened there over the course of the war.
So Camp Randall is a military training ground, lasted for 4 years from 1861 to the end of the war in 1865. Over 70,000 Wisconsin troops moved through the camp, sometimes as many as 5,000 people at a time. And that was fully three quarters of all the soldiers that Wisconsin provided to the Union Army. So a really significant military establishment here in Madison. By the end of the war, there were 40 barracks, a hospital, officer quarters, stables, a commissary, everything that you can imagine would be necessary to support up to 5,000 people at a time. One of the stories that is particularly interesting to Camp Randall is the period in 1862 when 1,200 prisoners of war, Confederate soldiers, were brought to Madison and were housed at Camp Randall. And during that period of just over a month, it wasn't very long at all, 140 of the soldiers died, mostly from disease and wounds prior to their capture. And those soldiers were buried in Forest Hill Cemetery, just here on the west side of Madison. That created the northernmost Confederate burial ground in the country. At the end of the war, the property reverted to a state agricultural fairground, and eventually the state of Wisconsin purchased it in 1893.
And as the agricultural fairground, if I understand correctly, we had state fairs on that site at a few points in history.
Right. Actually, before the war and after the war, there were state fairs, as well as other major public events like the circus. So the property that became the training ground served many functions, including just agricultural functions as a pasture. And for a while, in the early 1890s, the property was used as one of the first pharmaceutical gardens for doing research on medicinal plants. And so it's interesting to note that back in the early 1890s, the university was doing research on a plant called cannabis, looking at the early medicinal values of that plant.
Talking to Daniel Einstein, UW-Madison's Historic and Cultural Resources Manager, and answering one of your Why Wisconsin questions about the history of Camp Randall, the stadium and the historic site, including the Civil War training ground that is in that part of Madison. Now, Daniel, you mentioned the Memorial Arch. Can you talk about efforts after the Civil War, in some cases well after the Civil War, to memorialize the Union Army soldiers who trained there?
Sure. So as I mentioned, it was 1893. It was 28 years after the end of the Civil War, and the property was being considered for residential development. And the veterans approached the state and said that wouldn't be right to convert these hallowed grounds, this place where so many Union soldiers were both mustered in and left military service. And so they convinced the state to purchase the property, and it was given to the university for their use, for their exclusive use. The university built the first building on the old training ground in 1909, a forest products lab. So the first rendition of the forest products lab was right there on University Avenue. It's now called the Material Sciences Building. And in 1895, the first football game was played on the field next to the agricultural fairgrounds grandstand. So this was a field that dated to exhibitions during the fair period. And that would have been located where Engineering Hall is right now. That was 1895 was the first football game in what we now refer to as the former Camp Randall training ground.
And we better not let you go, Daniel, without finding out when something like the modern stadium ended up being there for football.
Sure. So the old grandstand had problems. The bleachers collapsed, and in 1917, the money was allocated to create a new stadium, and the first concrete seating structure was built into the side of Breeze Terrace, that slope on the side of the west side of Camp Randall Stadium. And then subsequently, there were many additions made to the stadium. And now, of course, it can accommodate up to 80,000. But initially, it was just a few concrete bleachers on the side of the Breeze Terrace Hill.
Daniel, thanks so much for sharing this history with us today.
My pleasure.
Daniel Einstein is the UW-Madison Historic and Cultural Resources Manager. We talked to him today about the history of UW-Madison's Camp Randall, including the Civil War training ground and Confederate prison camp there. And this conversation, by the way, was inspired by a question from listener John Hansen in Madison as part of our Why Sconson project. You can submit your own question. We might answer it in a future story. Go to WPR.org/Why Sconson. We'll keep things going coming up and look at the college football era of Camp Randall Stadium and share some memories with the voice of UW-Madison football and basketball. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you remember your first time seeing a Badger game at Camp Randall Stadium, your first season opener? Do you have a favorite memory? Did you play there? Or did you play an instrument there? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. We're talking about the history of Camp Randall. We just went back to the Civil War era. Now we'll check out some more recent stories from the UW-Madison football stadium. There's the traditions, a jump around, the fifth quarter, great moments for the Badgers football team, maybe just the incredible fall and winter days spent outdoors as part of the wave of spectators. You could join in if you'd like, if you have a memory you'd like to share at 800-642-1234 or a question for our guest, the voice of UW-Madison football and basketball for that matter. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Here's a memorable football moment. October 16th, 2010, number one Ohio State came to Camp Randall for a night game.
The first time in 13 years a top-ranked team comes to town. Kick is in the air. Gilreath will have an opportunity. He'll catch at the 3. Between the hash marks, 10. Slicing left, 15. Across the 20. 25-30. Gilreath to the 40. He's to the 50. Foot race to the house. At the 30. At the 20. 10. 5. Touchdown, Wisconsin. And this game is underway with a bang.
That was the voice of Matt LePay, who is the voice of UW-Madison basketball and football. He joins us now. Matt, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. Great to be on with you.
Well, you've seen so many games there. Do you have a first memory, your first encounter with Camp Randall Stadium?
A first or a favorite?
Let's hear both.
My first is kind of a contrast in emotions, I guess, from a fan's perspective, because I grew up in Ohio and I moved here in 1988. And my first game at Camp Randall Stadium, there were about, I think, 36,000 fans in the stands, which meant there were about 40,000 empty seats. They had a very tough year that year. They only won one game, and the first game I went to wasn't one of them. They lost to Western Michigan. So that whole season was a bit of a mess, to put it mildly. The favorite, there are, you know, three that stand out. You just played a highlight from one of them, but I think if I was to be asked my single favorite memory, I think for me, and I would imagine a lot of fans would be inclined to agree, would have been in November of 1999, the day that Ron Dane set the NCAA career rushing record. Middle of November, it was about 70 degrees, like it always is, right? The middle of November,
right, yeah.
Here in Madison. And the day was perfect. Wisconsin had clinched another Big Ten championship. The Badgers routed an Iowa team, a rival, a longtime rival, and Ron set the rushing record. If I was to narrow it down to one, that would be the one.
Let's talk about the space here. You've done, obviously, home and away games. You've had a lot of opportunities to compare and contrast. What to you is special about Camp Randall Stadium?
Well, I just think the environment in the stadium and around the stadium, which we obviously cannot have this season for the obvious reasons. But I think just the party atmosphere, the festive atmosphere. Football is very important to people here, but it's also the social aspect of it. You know, I think Badger fans, they take their team seriously, but generally speaking, they know where to draw the line. It isn't win a national championship or bust. It's have a great time, take great pride in your school, in the athletes who represent the university and represent the state of Wisconsin. I think that to me, I think Badger fans have by and large done a great job of separating, you know, it's important to see their team win, but it's not the be all end all. And I think that's the one thing in jump around and the fifth quarter and everything that goes into it. It's more than just the game, but the fact that the team has been good far more often than not for the last 25 plus years, it certainly added a lot to it. And knowing that in most cases, nearly every seat is going to be full.
Well, and you've gotten to witness what a lot of people in the state have witnessed, the team going from, I don't know, maybe a lovable loser persona for this football team to a, you know, a consistently team that people have to think about, even if they're not at the top of the Big Ten. Any given year, they could be in contention. Can you talk about that transition?
Yeah, it went from, you know, lovable loser is one way to put it. I think people, you know, the team was in such dire straits there. There's always going to be a certain amount of fan anger, and then it just turned into apathy. People just wouldn't come to the games anymore. And then Barry Alvarez arrived. You know, Donna Shalala, the chancellor, she understood that it's not a bad thing if your football team is really good. And bringing in Pat Richter as the athletics director, a true Badger in every sense of the word, one of the great people that I've ever met in athletics, no matter the level. And then the hiring of Barry Alvarez, who he had, you know, the famous line in his introductory press conference, you better get your season tickets now because before long you might not be able to, which seemed like one of the most arrogant statements in the history of college football. But it was the attitude that Wisconsin had to have. You had to have somebody come in here and say, you know, Wisconsin can be a winner. And he did an off the charts great job in elevating the program to the level it has been at now for more than 25 years. And I always tell people that if the worst thing you can say about your favorite team is they have a chance every time that they play, that they at least have a chance, that's a pretty good thing, because there were a number of years here where you really couldn't say that. But the Wisconsin program has been good enough long enough that when in doubt, you still think every time they step on the field, no matter who it's against, that they have a chance.
Talking to Matt LePay, voice of Wisconsin football and basketball, looking at the history of Camp Randall, the stadium, the site, and the team that plays there. And Matt, I got to ask, you know, I grew up listening to Ernie Harwell calling the Detroit Tigers games. Always been a fan of sports broadcasters. Doing live radio, I even more appreciate the job that you guys do. What goes into preparing for any given Saturday, I guess, for you?
Yeah, that's the key word there is preparing, preparation. When I talk to younger broadcasters, I make the loose comparison, you're studying for a test. And the more efficiently, the more effectively you study, the easier the test should be. You want to make it as a broadcaster where the game is fun, because there's a lot of traffic that we have to get in during the course of the game. We have a lot of sponsors. We want to make sure that we give them the recognition that they deserve, and maintain the mechanics of the game, the score, the time, where's the ball, who has the ball, who made the tackle. So it's a lot of memorization. I've been going through the Illinois roster this week. And just talk to my counterpart who calls the Illinois games, talked to him earlier today, just comparing notes. And you get as much background information on the players as you can, keeping up to date all the time with the Badger players, talking to a few players every week, meeting with head coach Paul Christ at least twice a week. So you just gather as much information as you can. So in this case, when Friday night rolls along, that it should be fun. You know, there's always the unexpected, right? They expect the unexpected, but the better the grasp you have on the material, the Wisconsin roster, the Illinois roster, in theory, the easier and the more enjoyable the broadcast should be.
Is it going to be possible to keep up that fun factor at the game without the fans and the stands going nuts?
Yeah, it's a little different. I have some experience with that now, filling in with the Milwaukee Brewers, their television broadcast, doing a couple of dozen games. It's definitely different. You notice it when you walk in to an empty ballpark or here an empty Camp Randall Stadium. you're not going to have that pregame hype when you're driving into the stadium. There's not going to be game traffic, right? But I think when the game starts, at least in my experience, you're locked in to your job. And in this case, it's describing the game for a radio audience and try to be as detailed as you possibly can. I find it in a lot of ways more awkward to watch or listen to a game without a crowd than it is to actually work a game without a crowd, because you're just occupied with the things that you need to do to execute a broadcast.
Matt, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure. Take care.
Matt LaPaia is the voice of Wisconsin football and basketball. We talked to him today about some memorable moments in Camp Randall Stadium, which will host Badger football again this week for the pushed back opening of the 2020 season. Earlier, we talked about some Civil War era history of the grounds of Camp Randall. It all comes from a Wisconsin question from listener John Hansen in Madison. Go to WPR.org/Wisconsin if you want to ask your own question.